Well, thank you, Megan and team there. And it's been a great Sunday already. Let me just ask you a couple of questions to start. Do you ever feel you're lacking power in life? Do you feel stuck? Do you feel exhausted, de-energized? You want to change something in your life. You want to change a habit. You want to change a character issue. You want to fix a situation. You want to transform a relationship. But you feel overwhelmed. Maybe you started the year good and you made your New Year's resolutions and, well, now it's Easter. You had said at the time, I won't blank or I will blank, but it didn't turn out the way you had hoped. And your resolve has vanished. But friends, I have good news for you today on Resurrection Sunday. The good news is found in the Bible, Ephesians chapter 1. Let me read a couple verses for you. Ephesians 1 verse 19, it says, I pray that you will begin to understand the incredible greatness of his power for us who believe him. This is the same mighty power that raised Christ from the dead and seated him in the place of honor at God's right hand in the heavenly realms. He is far above any ruler or authority or power or leader or anything else in this world or in the world to come. Let me pray. Oh God, I pray that you would take these few verses of scripture and in each of our lives right now, that you would do a work. You would show us an area. You would call us to repent. You would call us to a step of belief, whatever it may be. Thank you, Jesus, that you're alive. Thank you, Jesus, that you speak to people. Amen. Okay, two amazing claims concerning Jesus from this passage. The first is that Jesus is who he claimed to be. Because of the resurrection, Jesus is who he claimed to be. Jesus made some audacious claims while he walked on here on this earth. He said things like, I am the resurrection and the life. The one who believes in me will live even though they die. Or he said in John 14, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me. He continually and repeatedly said things like that, that he and the Father are one, or that he is God, or that there's no way to God except through him. And he said, you'll know that my claims are true by my dying and rising again. He predicted it, but his disciples didn't understand it. They couldn't believe it because it seemed so irrational. Irrational unless the one making the claims is greater than death itself. Paul said, this is the same mighty power that raised Christ from the dead and seated him in the place of honor. This person, Jesus, whom we celebrate today, is unique. His birth was without consummation. His life was without parallel. He never lost his temper, never succumbed to life's temptations. He was never mastered by sinful desires. There were no skeletons in his closet. The resurrection proves that Jesus is who he claimed to be. That he's more than just a good teacher. He's more than just a philosopher. He is either God or he's a liar. Jesus is who he claimed to be or he's a lunatic. He went to the other side, death, and he came back. Jesus is who he claimed to be. Secondly, we see in this passage that Jesus has the power he claimed to have. Jesus said in Matthew 28, all power on heaven and earth has been given to me. And throughout the Gospels, we see Jesus demonstrate that power again and again. He had power over nature, as he said to the storm, be still. He had power over sickness and illness as he healed people. He had power over Satan as he set people free from demonic powers. And he had power over death as he raised people back to life, including himself. And that resurrection was the final proof that he was who he claimed to be. More than just a great religious leader, more than just a fine teacher, more than a miracle worker, more than a compassionate person, Jesus was who he said he was, and he had the power he claimed to have. Jesus said in John 10, no one can take my life from me. I sacrifice it voluntarily, for I have the authority to lay it down when I want to, and also to take it up again. The Romans killed Jesus. They placed him in a tomb. They put a group of guards in front of that tomb and a big stone. But death couldn't hold Jesus down. He had all the power in this world and beyond to raise his life back up again. Jesus is who he claimed to be. He has the power he claimed to have. And the good news, friends, today in Easter 2020 is that he wants to share his resurrection power with you. He wants to help you if you're willing to believe him. See, what did Paul write? I pray that you have begun to understand the incredible greatness of his power for us who believe him. That's the key. If you're willing to trust him, if you're willing to depend upon him, if you're willing to let go of the control and switch to autopilot, as Brad said earlier in his testimony. Jesus wants to liberally share his resurrection with power with you for your daily living. And daily living is hard, right? Because it's every day. Every day we've got struggles. Every day we have challenges. But friends, don't you think that if God can raise his son from the dead, he can help you in your daily challenges? He can help you overcome that bad habit. He can help you conquer that nemesis that holds you back. He can heal that relationship. He can help you move forward in victory. What area of your life do you need God's power today, Easter Sunday? Two types of power, let me suggest to you, that God wants to share with you. Number one is starting power. Romans 7:18 says, I often find that I have the will to do good, but not the power. Do you ever feel that way? And that's what that whole chapter, Romans 7, is about. That Paul says, the things I know that I should do, I don't do. And the things that I know I shouldn't do, those I end up doing. You know? And then he goes into Romans chapter 8, speaking of Christ's power. We have those internal struggles. We make our New Year's resolutions, as I mentioned. Or for me, on Ash Wednesday, you know, beginning Lent. But then we fall off the wall of good intentions, as I shared with you on Good Friday. Where do we turn? To whom do we turn? And perhaps these last 2 years of COVID have just intensified that struggle for you. Maybe it's anxiety. Maybe it's fear. Maybe you find yourself stuck. But friends, God can free you. He can free you today. According to NASA, the most power that's needed to launch a rocket is the power that's needed when it takes off the base. And friends, God wants you to move, to be set free from whatever you need to be released from. Do you need a starting power today? That personal energy crisis that you're feeling, God wants to share his resurrection power with you. Philippians 2:13 says, for it is God who is at work within you, giving you the will and the power to achieve his purpose. God wants to share with you his starting power. Secondly, he wants to share with you his staying power. His staying power. You know what I'm talking about? When you're tempted to give up, when you're tempted to quit, you're tempted to just throw in the towel. Maybe you're halfway through something and you think, I don't know if I can persevere. You might be like halfway through school and you think, I don't know if I can finish. You might be halfway through a career and you think, I don't know if I can make it to 65 or 70. You might be halfway through your marriage and you think, I don't know, did I make a mistake? You could be halfway through your parenting and you think, this is overwhelming me. You could be halfway through life and you think, I just want to give up. Friends, Ephesians 1 reminds us that God wants to share his power with you. Any long-distance runners in the crowd? Anybody like to run long distance? Yeah, a couple of you like to run long distance. I'm told by long-distance runners that sometimes you reach a point when you're running and you just feel exhausted. You feel like you're going to collapse. And then you have the experience of the second wind. Well, friends, God has a second wind for you. For those of you who feel like you're going to give up, or you just want to quit, or you just want to throw in the towel in some area of your life, God wants to share with you his staying power. That's why we see in the New Testament again and again those themes of persistence, perseverance, endurance mentioned again and again because God knows that you need it. John Maxwell, in one of his books, tells a story about a boy that was running through a graveyard at night. And as he's running through this graveyard, there's an empty grave there. And he happens to fall in the grave. And this teenager is trying to climb out of this thing. He's, I can't get out of here. I can't get out of here. Well, unbeknownst to him, there's an alcoholic on the other side of that open grave. And as he's saying, I can't do this, I can't do that, the alcoholic pipes up and says, yes, you can. Do you think that teenage boy managed to climb out of that after he heard that voice? We'd all be able to scamper out. Well, friends, God says to you today, Resurrection Day, yes, you can. How do I know that? Because of his scripture. What he wrote for you in Philippians 4, verse 13. Why don't we stick it up on the screen? Let's read it together. I can do all things through Christ who empowers me. You can, friends. Don't quit. Don't give up. His staying power is available for you. You can have that can-do attitude because of what Jesus has done for you that first Easter. Well, you say, well, Rick, how do I tap into God's power? How do I access it? Well, let me give you three steps, three things to do that I see in Scripture. The first is to believe in faith. You and I need to believe in faith. There's so many stories like in Matthew chapter 9, where there's two men that are blind, that are following Jesus, and they're kind of shouting after him, you know, Son of David, have mercy on us. Son of David, have mercy on us. Jesus turns to them. And he says, what do you want? He says, we want to be healed. And then Jesus asks an interesting question. He says, do you believe that I can do this? Why would he ask him that? And they respond, yes, we do believe. And then Matthew writes, because of your faith, it will happen. Because of your faith, it will happen. It was believing that made all the difference. Without that, they perhaps would have remained blind. See, friends, you just need to have faith. You say, well, I don't have enough faith. Jesus said, if you have faith as small as a mustard seed, and the mustard seed was the smallest known seed at the time of Jesus. Jesus said, if you have faith that size, you can move a mountain. You don't need humongous faith. You don't need gigantic faith. You didn't just need small faith. But you need faith in the right thing, the person Jesus. See, friends, either your faith will move mountains or your mountains will remove your faith, right? You know, the mountains of negativity, the mountains of cynicism, the mountain of unbelief, that will remove your faith. Or if you have faith in Jesus, that can move any mountain in your life. It all depends what the object of your faith is. And if your faith is in the Jesus who Paul describes here in Ephesians chapter 1, the one who God raised from the dead, the one who overcame death, that Jesus asks you to believe in him, to trust in him, to submit to him, to rely upon him. And you can do that. I know you can, because you did that when you were a little kid, right? Little kids instinctively trust, right? They instinctively believe. Like my daughter Kelsey, who's now 20 years old, but back when she was a little tyke, maybe like 3 or 4 years old, she used to do a thing where we'd walk up the stairs and then she'd run ahead of me, you know, 5 or 6 stairs more, and then she'd turn around and she would just do a free fall. You know, she never asked me, hey, Dad, are you feeling strong today? Dad, are your hands aren't slippery or anything, eh? You know, she would just go running ahead, turn around and just do the swan dive down, believing that me as her earthly father would be dependable there to catch her. Well, friends, Your Heavenly Father is dependable for you. You can do that free fall. You can step out and the net will appear. And that net is Jesus, the Lord of heaven and earth, the one who overcame death. You can rely upon him. You can trust him. If you want to tap into God's power, first of all, you need to believe in faith. Secondly, you need to speak in faith. 2 Corinthians 4:13 says, I spoke because I believed. In the same spirit of faith, we also speak because we believe. So we believe first, and then we speak it forth. And we speak out of truth. We speak because we believe in who God is. See, did you ever notice that you might believe something, and then you talk yourself out of it? You just start thinking over it, and you talk over it, and then kind of the lies get into your head space, and you think, well, I don't know if that's possible. I don't know if I can do that. And you started with belief, but then, well, the Bible says, in the tongue is the power of life and death. And you can either speak from belief, or you can speak from unbelief. And friends, I say no to the lies, say no to the unbelief, and believe the truth, and speak forth that truth. And then thirdly, you act in faith. Firstly, you believe in your mind, in faith, then you speak it forth, and then you act upon it. See, it's not enough to just believe it. It's not enough to just say it. At some point, to see God's power move in your life, you need to take a step forward. God's power comes when you take that step. The story told in Joshua chapter 3, where Joshua has gathered the Israelites on the edge of the Jordan River. And he says, consecrate yourselves, because God is going to do something amazing. And so the people pray, they get themselves ready. And then the priests begin with carrying the Ark of the Covenant. And then we read these words in Joshua 3. I put them on your outline. Now the Jordan is at flood stage all during the harvest. Yet as soon as the priests who carried the Ark reached the Jordan and their feet touched the water's edge, the water from upstream stopped flowing. It piled up in a heap a great distance away. See, friends, if the priests had just stood at the edge of the Jordan, if they had just prayed, God, open the water for us, if they had just talked about God's power, shared stories of what God used to do in the past, they would never have experienced God's power until they took that step of faith and put their toes into the water. And that's when the water moved. You have to take the step forward. So let me ask you, what is your step forward? To harness God's power in your life, you need to move. God rolled that stone away. The tomb is empty. Jesus is alive, and this living Jesus wants to share his power with you. What's your first step to take? Do you need to pick up the phone and make a call this Easter weekend? Do you need to open your file and dust off your resume? Do you need to send somebody a text? Do you need to email somebody? Do you need to extend an offer to someone? Do you need to agree to meet with someone? Do you need to let go? Let go of something in your past that's holding you back. Do you need to extend forgiveness to someone? Do you need to do like Brad and Sanjay talked about, in terms of surrender, victory, offering your life to God? What is the one thing that you need to do? What is your something? To believe in faith, to speak in faith, to act in faith. We had a neighbor once who had lost her job. And I was speaking with her. And she said, well, I think I'm going to try such and such a thing. But she said, I'm pretty nervous about it because it's cold calling. She was doing like a B2B, business-to-business venture that she was starting. And I shared with her just these three principles. And I said, Nora, why don't you just believe in faith, speak in faith, and act in faith? And she said, just a second. She went inside, she got a piece of paper, and she wrote it down. And then she went door to door, you know, in the business district. And she said, she pulled out that paper. She read those nine words. And then she moved forward and opened the door and asked to speak to the manager or the president. And she ended up building a business. What about you? Whether it's employment, relationship, circumstances, where do you feel you're lacking God's power? Our prayer teams would love to pray with you this morning. Those of you who are watching on the screen, you can just text the number that shows up there on the screen, and they will, someone will text you back and pray with you. Ralph, if you want to come and play, we're not going to do a closing song today, just in the interest of time. But if you would like a prayer this morning, perhaps starting power that you need in your life to begin something, that perhaps you want to start something new, that you need to give up something from your past or something that's holding you back, or you need God's staying power in your life, whatever the area may be, whether it's a relationship, finances, a new habit, perhaps physical healing that you need in your life, perhaps circumstances that are to be changed, whatever it may be. Those of you who are here with me in the building, I believe that God brought you here. He wants to share His power with you. Is there some way that you need God's power in your life right now? Why don't you come to Him in prayer? Prayer team, if you want to come forward right now. LT, if you want to come forward for prayer. If you would like prayer, just come and join me at the front here, and we will pray together. And otherwise, I will dismiss you. You can go out and enjoy the Pascha bread and the hot cross buns there. If you would like prayer, just come on forward today on Easter Sunday, and one of us as leaders will pray with you. Now to Him who is able to do immeasurably more than all we ask or imagine, according to His great power within us, to Him be glory in the church forever. Amen.